So it's great to be here. Thanks for having me. And the message, the homily, is going to be from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. 1 John 4, 7 through 12. A passage that has to do with God's pattern for our life. So in a seminary, you are working on the pattern you're going to be turning out and or you're trying to turn out in others. Pattern has a lot to do with learning and knowledge. And then there's the other pattern that you're working on, I suppose, in seminary, maybe a little less directly, and that's the pattern of character. And that's what this message is going to be about. So 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 7. This is God's word. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we confess it a great privilege to focus together on your love revealed to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and worked in us by your Holy Spirit. So please open our hearts to what you have to say. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, some of you may have at times tried your hand at baking. And I don't know if any of you manly men have ever done this, but sometimes you might have gone in the kitchen, I have, and tried something like a cake. And there's a lot to pulling that off successfully, but when it comes out of the oven and cools down, there's this trick you have to do of getting it out of the pan in one piece. And it is possible to turn the pan over and shake it and have about half of it come out on the cooling rack and have about half of it still in the pan because it didn't turn out, right? So maybe you didn't see in the instructions where it said grease and flour the pan. And so there it is, and you have to stitch it together with frosting or something else, which that can't be too bad, huh, if you're putting it together with frosting. But in our lives spiritually, there is a connection between what we see and how we turn out. What we see and how we turn out. And John brings this out in his writings, in what we just read, but also in his gospel. He says in what we just read and in the gospel of John that no man has seen God. So we can't see God in his unveiled glory. But John says famously in John chapter 1, verse 18 of his gospel, no one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. So you can't see the unveiled glory of God, but Jesus Christ coming in the image of the Father shows you God in a way that you can receive and understand. So you can't see God, but you can see God reflected through Jesus Christ. And as you see Christ and as you believe in him, John chapter 1, verse 14 also says, famously, that when, as you receive the Son, God gives you authority, or I like the King James translation, power. I think that's more apt. God gives us the power to become the sons of God. In John's writing, the sons of God is not a forensic thing, and the same thing it is in Paul's writing. So in Paul, we're given the status of son, right? In John, son of God has to do more with a transformation. So you see God in the Son, you believe in the Son, and then God gives you power to even become a son of God. That is, as he transforms you, he enables you more and more to become, to live like his child and turn out in that pattern. So the pattern we're turning out in has to do with what we see and more fundamentally with what God is doing in our lives. So that's what we see in our text today in 1 John as well. So two things I'm going to emphasize to you today. One is how God displays his love. He displays it both through us and to us, and then how we display our love displays God. So God displays his love, and our love displays God. So we're going to look at that and think about the pattern that God is working in us. First of all, in verses 7 and 8, God displays his love in us through the new birth. So when God saves us, he makes us spiritually alive through a supernatural gift. And that supernatural gift, verse 7 calls being born of God. And theologically, we call that regeneration, which means as God saves you, he changes you inside and he makes you a person who loves him, right? Among other things, you love him and you love his son, Jesus Christ. And as you love him, you begin to value the things he values, meaning also that you love his people. And it's a great comfort that this love of God and a love for his people, which is so important in the ministry, it comes as a supernatural gift. Great comfort, because you can't work this sort of thing up in yourself. You know, I cannot convince my children to love broccoli because of all of its wonderful properties and vitamins. They just don't. And apart from God's supernatural gift, we couldn't love God's people in a way that's any kind of a reflection of the way God loves them. But God changes us inside. We're born from above, which is a great comfort. That great comfort comes with a great reality check in verse 8 that says, anyone who does not love God does not know God, because God is love. So, you know, if I stand here before you and tell you that I have the measles, then you'll want to see evidence and proof of that, and you'll be looking for the spots on me, right? So if the fact that I don't have any spots all over me disproves the statement that I have measles. If I say I know God, and yet I don't have that love for a brother, it disproves or it weighs against having the new birth, and so being changed inside. So it's, put it positively, loving each other shows that our new birth is a reality, not just a claim. So great comfort, right? We have a new birth. Real challenge: do you love? Because that's the evidence of a new birth. So what is love? How would we recognize it if we saw it? Here I'm going to let Paul talk to John and go over to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 4 through 7. In a classic statement, Paul writes, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, which is amazing. But it gives you that portrait of God-centeredness and other-centeredness that is love. That's the fingerprint of love. And if you want to know what a lack of love looks like, you can invert all those terms and you come up with a portrait of the very opposite. So I've done that for you, so you don't have to imagine what it might be. So here's those same verses inverted. Ready? Selfishness, which I take to be the opposite of love, selfishness is irritable and mean-spirited. It is not contented or humble. It is not meek or deferential. It does not let others go first. It does not bear with others or forgive them. It finds no joy in true righteousness, but only in self-flattering deceptions. It takes offense, imagines the worst, grows bitter, and gives up. So a portrait of selfishness in contrast to love. And boy, you know, let all who have never grown bitter and given up cast the first stone, right? At times, we all resemble 1 Corinthians 13 inverted, and we can't deny it, can we? And yet we see, I hope and trust we see in our lives by God's grace, the beginnings and first kind of actings of a God-given love. so that we are learning by His grace to forgive and to forbear and to be patient and to believe all things, because that is a mark of His good and encouraging work in us. So I hope you see that in yourself. And so, you know, this is bound to be challenging, but I hope it's somewhat encouraging as well as you reflect and you see some marks of God's love in you. So God displays His love through us in the new birth. God also displays His love to us in the gospel. That's verses 9 and 10. So we can talk about 1 Corinthians 13. That's a great description. But the ultimate portrayal of love is the saving work of Jesus Christ. So you want to know what love is? You look at Jesus, and God sends His Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Verse 9. This gives us kind of the first inkling from this passage of what love is in the terms of this passage. Love and live go together. Love and live go together. If you really love somebody, you really want to see them live. So you do give to them in a way that's more, you want to see them beyond dropping a few coins in a beggar's cup. Like, here, buddy, here's a quarter. This may eke you through another day, right? I hope you can live on this. God's love is not like that. God would see us live to the full. And so God, in His love, sends His Son, His very best for us, and lifts us, doesn't just eke us along, but lifts us to the highest honor, the highest privilege and eternity of being in His fellowship and resting and rejoicing in Him. God has a ferocious love for us, and we could say he will stop at nothing to slake His desire to show great love to us, that we might live and live to the full, abundant life, Jesus said. And therefore, that's the pattern for us too. Love means wanting to see someone else blessed and live to the full. Live to the full. And I think where that really hits the road in a ministry context, just remember that to love somebody is more than doing your duty or to kind of quote-unquote do the right thing. I think a lot of times that is what my love has consisted of. So you want to behave in such a way that you are kind of blameless in what you're doing, right? So, you know, he slandered me, but I'm not slandering him back. I'm being loving. That's a nice start to love, but love, in terms of wanting someone to live, love is down on your knees asking God to bless that other person. Lord, may they truly live. May they live to the full. So it's not just a matter of, am I behaving correctly? It's a matter of, do I really want this person to be blessed? I think a natural response to that is, well, that's all very nice in theory, you know, but you don't realize what a jerk this person has been. And, you know, she is just, you know, you wouldn't believe it if I told you. Well, we keep reading in verse 10. It says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And that raises it, I think, even to a whole new level. See, if God waited until we were kind of nice and reasonable, we would still be on square one. And you can't imagine in the Pactum Salutis, you know, in the as a Holy Trinity, as we sometimes think about it, is just deciding to come and save us. You can't imagine one of the members of the Holy Trinity saying, that's all nice in theory, but you don't understand what jerks they are. That's the whole point of what God is doing. He's coming to save the unworthy as to His great glory. And so we are wrath-deserving sinner, but God sends His Son to be a propitiation, the one who will actually bear that wrath that we rightly deserve and absorb it Himself, so we won't have to suffer it, which is amazing love. And our love, brothers, should follow that same pattern. And it calls us to hang in there with sinners. We're sinners too. and hang in there with the sinners that are in your ministry. Don't say, you know, well, he burned me, because you burned the Lord Jesus, right? And he didn't let go of you. So keep forgiving, keep pursuing, and that's love. Okay, God displays love through us and to us. And then secondly, here as we wind down, our love displays God. Look at verse 12 if you have your Bibles open. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. So here again, John's pointing out that no one has seen God in his glory. We haven't seen him unveiled. Our remaining sinfulness makes us unworthy of it. We have not been strengthened constitutionally to bear the sight of the glory of God. We will, 1 Corinthians 15 says that someday we will no longer bear the image of the earthly, but we will bear the image of the heavenly. And so we will be kind of, I think, constitutionally fortified and made ready to even take in whatever degree of the vision of God's glory that he is pleased to share with us. Right now, we couldn't even take it. And yet, I think when we are thinking rightly, when we're in our right mind, our hearts long for the sight of God. We are like Moses who said, show me your glory. And the more you get to know God in his word and in the gospel, the more you are drawn to this God and you want to see him. You want his love to wash over you and know what it's like to be in his fellowship. You want to understand something of how great he is. This verse 12 is telling us that in the love of the church, we begin to glimpse the greatness of God. So God reveals us his greatness in his son, Jesus Christ, as we've already seen, in a way we can take in. But then as he unfolds his pattern in us, as the pattern begins to turn out, we even begin to grasp some of God's glory from what we see in the church, which is wonderful and a privilege. Christian love is truly otherworldly. I mean, to love in the way I've just described, to forbear, right? To forgive, to keep hanging on when it's burning you. That is the aroma of heaven. That is the aroma of God's grace. And as God enables you to love him like that, that shows the wonder of his power when we seek that the other person would truly live. So God's glory begins to shine from us. People begin to see God in us. I just want to say to you, brothers, by way of encouragement, to remind you, first of all, that God loves you. God loves you so much. He loves you so much in giving his son for you and to be the propitiation for your sins. This should greatly reassure you. You should also be greatly reassured that God's project is going to turn out. God's a good baker, if I could put it that way. His cake is going to turn out. And this pattern is going to come true in your life. It'll be finished in glory, but even in the church. And that should give us great hope to hang in there. Don't grow weary, poop out, give up, get bitter, or anything like that. Because this is going to turn out. And someday we will be as he is. So we see all the flaws in the church. We see all the loose ends in the church. But I think if you're looking at things truly, you will also see many reasons to be encouraged. You will see the love of God beginning to break out in your own life and in the life of people you know, in your ministry, in your sphere. See that, realize it, and don't despise the day of small things. God is beginning to do his work in the church. So be encouraged by that and be encouraged to hang in there. Where we are born again, we're on the right track. God's love is beginning to show and the pattern will turn out. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing to help us really believe this and act upon it. Our dear Heavenly Father, how we desire as the church and individually to be what you call us to be. We thank you for the amazing reality of your love for us in Jesus. And we thank you for the reality, too, of the new birth. We pray that you would teach us to grow in love And so you would glorify yourself among us. And as